are listening to Aim Higher, a Catholic podcast designed to instruct and to encourage the daily practice of our faith. Pax et bonum, peace and good to you all. This is Aim Higher, and we are entering into Holy Week. It is Palm Sunday, or at least this is the episode for Palm Sunday, and where Sister and I are going to walk you all through the bit of the history of Palm Sunday. There's different practices on Palm Sunday that we can do, and also the ceremonies that are involved in Palm Sunday. Like I said, this is the day that about to say kicks off Holy Week, but that doesn't give it the proper respect and solemnity. So I would say it is the feast that inaugurates this most holy and sacred week. It's called Holy Week for a reason. We don't arbitrarily call it Holy Week. And what makes it holy? Well, there's so many different things to make it holy, and in these special episodes that we're going to be doing for the next few, the next three or four special episodes, going into exactly what makes this such a holy week. The sacraments of the sacrament of Holy Eucharist was instituted. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass instituted. The Sacrament of Holy Orders were instituted during this week. Our Lord, in his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, as we remember, happened this week. His passion and death on the cross, we remember happening this week. His time in the tomb before his resurrection on Easter Sunday also occurred. So to give special recognition, special thought and consideration for this week only makes sense. And it really is a wonderful example of what this podcast stands for, in helping people understand the significance, the importance of these different feasts in our liturgy, to help us grow more and more in holiness, to become more Christ-like, and to truly appreciate our faith and let that appreciation grow each and every day. And it's got to really go to a new level in Holy Week. I would think, Sister, mm-hmm. A whole brand new level here.
Absolutely.
So. Nothing? Nothing? Okay. Usually you're chomping at the bit to say something, Sister.
Sometimes, but I figured really just getting started, and I kind of wanted to hear a little bit more of what you had to say.
Oh, okay. Well, that was just my introduction to it, okay. My kind of off the cuff introduction. But as I say often on this podcast, from the silly to the sublime, the Feast of Palm Sunday is one that began, or at least as we know, with the practice of a procession in Jerusalem, would have begun roughly around the 4th century, when the church was recognized in the Roman Empire. When it was recognized and were allowed to freely practice the faith, without fear of persecution. This, of course, happened with the ascension of Emperor Constantine becoming Emperor of the West, and his Edict of Milan in 313. It at least put the church on the same level as paganism, which was still the official religion of the empire, but very soon in the time, even the lifetime of Constantine, the Catholic Church became the religion of the empire. And this really happened around the year, I think it was 325, just before the First Council of Nicaea. Emperor of the West, of the East, Eastern Empire. Forget his name, Licentius. I think I might be totally wrong. I think I might be confusing him with an old father, one of the fathers of the church. But after he was defeated, and he died. I shouldn't be trying to get into this history. I wasn't planning on talking about Constantine.
It just kind of so popped up.
Yeah. I didn't brush up on those specifics. But it was around this time when the church was given that freedom to practice openly, that the faithful in Jerusalem started reenacting our Lord's entrance into Jerusalem. Come on, Father, rev up. Come on. His entrance into Jerusalem. The ceremony as far as the blessing of the palms and using palms in the ceremony was not something that really we did not see that until more of like the 8th century. And that didn't happen in Rome or in Jerusalem, but in the Frankish churches, so somewhere in what we know modern-day France, this practice was taken up. And Rome adopted the practice, and it really grew. When I say grew, it really, you saw the changes of it happening, because what they used to do is that they would have two masses being said in Rome. The Pope, actually wasn't very clear whether or not the Pope would be the one saying this mass, but he certainly said the second mass. In the first mass, the palms were blessed. And then a great procession from that mass to, I think it was St. John Lateran. Yep. Or to St. Peter's. Oh, how about that? So either St. John Lateran or St. Peter's. And the Pope would then have the second mass. At some point, that second mass was discontinued, and it was just the blessing of the palms occurring before the solemn high mass. Now, that's a bit of a really short history of how this feast came into being. Now, talk about the blessing of the palms, our Lord's entrance into Jerusalem. Let's think about it. What was the significance of his entrance? Well, one thing that stands out in the gospel story was the hosannas. Hosanna, son of David. Hosanna. It was a king's triumphal entry into his capital city. And the people recognized our Lord's kingship. They recognized, even if it was not so much that as recognizing of him being at least a holy prophet, but how many of the people there believed him to truly be the Messiah? I mean, of course, he was, he is, but how many of them believed? And if you recall in the gospel story, when the people were crying out and the Pharisees were telling our Lord to stifle them, he said, "No, if I do that, the rocks themselves will cry out in joy." And it really is quite the contrast from what we have on Palm Sunday, because our Lord never really entered into a city or a village, a town, with such as such a grandiose gesture, or as much as possibly could be, because he came riding on a donkey or an ass, and the people were laying on the palms. So this was a sign of recognition. This was a sign of respect to our Lord. And especially the fact that just a week prior, and we remembered in Passion Sunday, our Lord going to hide himself. He did this after his confrontation with the Pharisees and I believe the Sadducees, when he came out and openly declared that before Abraham came to be, I am, to say I am is to say I am God. Because there was the question, you know, that our Lord said that, you know, that the reason that they don't listen to him is because they have a devil. But our Lord himself said, I honor my Father and and you dishonor me. So you dishonor the Father. And Abraham would rejoice that he would see my day. And they would ask, you older than our father Abraham, you're not even 50 years old. How can this be? And that was his ultimate response in the conversation. Before Abraham was, before we came to be, I am. Our Lord, through his miracles, through his gospel, in private conversations, was hinting at his divinity. Other points, it was clear to those who wanted to see it. But now he made it without a shadow of a doubt. And how many of these Pharisees actually knew who our Lord was? It's actually a point that certain fathers of the church have written about, that they knew exactly who our Lord was, that he was indeed the Son of God. How demented a mind must be to even consider going against God in the flesh. But then again, you know, how demented are we when we fall into mortal sin? Mm-hmm. And I say demented in its most strict term, you know, not thinking straight, that there's something that has to be wrong with us, because if we truly understood what was going on, I mean, what did our Lord say? When he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, this applied to many different people who were taking part in our Lord's crucifixion. This could apply to the Romans. Well, the Romans, the following orders, they were pagans. Excuse me. Did they, and Pilate himself, you know, it was out of cowardice. That he allowed our Lord to be crucified? Did he really understand what he was doing? Did he fully grasp to whom our Lord was? Now you go with those with the Pharisees and others who knew who our Lord, that knew that our Lord was indeed the Messiah. And say, they do not know what they do. They do not understand truly what punishment awaits them if they do not repent. Remember that had they repented, and some of them did on Pentecost Sunday, our Lord had been ready to forgive them. Isn't that interesting? All our Lord wanted to do was save their souls. He was willing to suffer ignominy and suffer such a cruel death as long as they would convert. He wasn't concerned about himself, but for their souls, for their sake. And so you see this contrast with how our Lord has been up to that point to where he was on Palm Sunday. And remember, what I just talked about, it's not like our Lord did not know what was going to happen. Remember, he's indeed God. He knew exactly what was going to transpire. He could read what was in the hearts of the Pharisees. And take it a step further. Each person that he passed while he was in that procession, he was on that donkey, and they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Each person, he knew how they would respond when he was apprehended. He knew which of these people would go with the crowd, which of these people would allow themselves to be intimidated by the Pharisees and call for his blood, call for his death. the person who was waving, excited to see him, could have been that same person who was buffeting him, hitting him, pushing him on his way, carrying the cross only a few days later. It's interesting when we think about that, which brings to our minds how we can give ourselves so completely to Christ in one moment, and in another moment, we find ourselves the criminal, the enemy.
I was thinking just that very thing about how, we can easily, go to Mass on just Sunday, if you will, and be completely involved, receive the sacrament, and it's just not hard. I want to say you're not outright denying your faith, but it's very easy to kind of just slip back into, the worldly cares. And it just gives you a lot to think about. And I don't even know if what I was saying was making sense. It's just, we definitely do rely a lot on our customs and ceremonies, and that's why they're so important. But also, I was also thinking how, when you're talking about the Pharisees, I mean, the majority of them really had to really believe, I don't know if believe is really right, knew he was the Son of God, that what he was speaking was true, was truthful, because if they doubted that and truly doubted that, then they wouldn't have had to work so hard to get people on their side to deny him and to have those things brought up against him and him arrested and then later crucified. If they really and truly felt good about their disbelief, it would have been easy. And it made me think about how fickle we are. It's just, here's, Palm Sunday. They're all welcoming him. They're excited. It's a great thing. But all it took was one thing, maybe a couple of things, but something. And all of a sudden it's just turned your back on it. Nope, whatever was going on there, whatever I knew to be true. And that was true, but this just sounds better or easier. Probably that was just an easier path. It's just to go along with the group and
the path of least resistance.
Right. So I don't really know what I was saying was making any sense. It's just the thoughts that kind of come up to my mind. Yep. So
yeah, and they do. And you mentioned there, sister, about the different customs and ceremonies. And one custom that I think it's quite good that people should practice, especially on Palm Sunday or the Saturday preceding Palm Sunday, would be Passion Sunday. Passion Saturday. Excuse me. Boy, so what
you're confusing Father, me, Father.
Come on, Father. I'm confusing you. I'm confusing myself. No, either Palm Sunday or Passion Saturday, to go to confession. Here we are talking about how fickle the crowd was, in relation to our Lord, praising him one day and 5 days later calling for his blood, and how we do the same with our sins. So going to confession, making sure that we are in the right spiritual frame of mind while we're entering into this Holy Week.
Right. But also to touch on it, it's not even just simply going to confession, but also obviously resolving not to sin again. And that's, part of the act of contrition, because I don't want people, to get confused. Maybe not our listeners, but if we had someone around, because there's that misconception that Catholics believe that, they can sin on bravely and go to confession and it's all good. And of course, that's presumption. I'm not saying that's what you were alluding to, but
yeah, I was.
That is a common misunderstanding. I just kind of wanted to, and it was just brought up in I think this last one of the last sermons, which is very confusing since we're talking ahead of time. And I'm working on the May Seraph already, so I don't ask me what month it is. I just know Easter is not here yet. So it's just very interesting how I think the thought I was trying to convey just a little earlier was, you know, on Sunday, it's very easy to practice our faith on Sunday because we go to Mass and receive the sacraments. It's easier that way, but trying to keep it up throughout the week and to behave, to be Catholic all week long, you know, to, and that's not just with our prayers, but our actions too, you know, what inspires us and really keeps us going. And it just kind of reminds me, you know, the fickleness of the people on Palm Sunday when they welcomed our Lord, and then just, you know, something got in the way and it's kind of, they're either indifferent, not trying more. Just lots of thoughts going through my head.
Yeah, you mentioned you're bringing up the fickleness of the people, the time of our Lord, and our own fickleness. It brought to my head as you were saying that was the practice, and don't worry, this will be connected with Holy Week. The practice in the Third Order, that they can choose to abstain from meat on Wednesday and Friday, some even Saturday, or just fast on Friday. And I wondered, okay, I get Friday.
Because we already do it. Yeah.
Why Wednesday? And it wasn't too long ago I read the explanation is that because it is the tradition, it was on Wednesday, the Wednesday during Holy Week, when Judas Iscariot went to the high priest and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and betrayed our Lord, making the deal for 30 pieces of silver. So that is like, oh, okay, that explains the tradition of why. And it just makes me think that only a few days earlier we were praising him, mm-hmm. and how are we like Judas, you know, ready to betray our Lord for just this passing treasure? This it's just one of those things that like you were saying, making sure when you go to confession, to make a good confession to make a good confession and to do it as best as you can. You know, having the proper contrition, the sorrow for sin.
Want to amend your life.
In confession, remember, and you go receive the sacrament, the sorrow of, the hatred for sin, the fear of hell. These are good incentives for someone to be sorry for their sin, and it is acceptable to receive the sacrament of penance. But ideally, you want to be sorry for your sin because it offends Almighty God. Have that perfect contrition. And as we go through Holy Week, and people can get discouraged and be like, well, okay, I go to confession. You say, make the firm purpose not to commit sin again. Well, how can I make this firm purpose? You know, I'm always falling into this sin, especially if there's a vice that is really predominant in you. And I've let people know, and this has come up in some of my convert classes, to say, Father, how can I have this a true contrition? I mean, a true purpose of amendment, I should say. And yet I know, come on, Father, I know I'm going to fall back into it. I know it's going to happen. And just got to remind people, there's a difference between the likelihood that you're going to fall back into that sin as compared to whether or not you have the intention in that moment to fall back into that sin. Now, what we're concerned with, so as you go to the confessional, is your disposition at that moment. Now, of course, anyone would want to have a firm purpose, like, I am not going to commit this sin. This sin disgusts me. This sin offends Almighty God. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make amends and start practice a virtuous life. And these are our thoughts and sentiments which you should inspire within yourself. And so that firm purpose of amendment is a true one in that moment. And the thing with a moment is that it can extend for an undisclosed period of time. And you could keep that resolution, pretty much for the rest of your life, depending if you cooperate with God's grace. As soon as you stop working with His grace, you'll fall back into that sin. Then you merely get yourself up. You recognize what you did. Usually it's that I'm trusting myself and not God.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to confession.
Well, and that's why it's recommended to say the act of contrition every night before you go to sleep. And I think if you really got into the habit of that and remind yourself, especially if you go to confession regularly, that you're basically renewing that every single time. And you can say the act of contrition as many times as you need. Even it doesn't have to be, oh, well, I commit a sin. I recognize it. Let me say this quick before, because until to hold me over until I get to confession next time. It's also just, you should say it to help you really remember why you want to not sin. why it really is for the love of God. It's really important. And I just wanted to kind of back up just a second on something you talked about, because I just kind of found it funny in a way. The choice of words when you're talking about the third order and how it's the option to abstain from meat Wednesday and Friday. And I just thought it was interesting. Why do they feel they have to put in Friday? Because we all as Catholics do abstain from meat from Friday. So I just thought it was interesting. Like, why would that even need to be put in there? Fasting.
I said fast on Friday. Maybe we'll listen to this recording afterwards and maybe I did say abstain, but I thought I said fast.
Okay. I mean, and that was not necessarily a knock on you. I just, because it very well, maybe it does say that. It just seemed like kind of like, what's the point of saying Friday if we already do it? But again, yeah. I know that some people are like, why do we have Ember Days during Lent when we already fast? Well, there are some things that are very specific to the laws of fasting, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
No.
I think we need to get focused on our topic at hand, which
we're zero. I have the tiger sister, but the thing is, just talking about the importance of going to confession, receiving the sacrament of penance, because you want to be as ready for our Lord this week as possible. Mm-hmm. You don't want a sin dragging you down during Holy Week. You don't want to be carrying that over. I mean,
that might be feedback from me.
That was weird. Sorry, folks. There was a bit of a sound there, and I wasn't sure that was feedback or if that was our Darth Vader was about to enter the room.
There was a really loud car zipping by on Mount Reed Boulevard, so that it might have picked up that. Sorry.
Yeah, that might have been it, because it just like duh, 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 duh. Yep. Like I was just ready for where is that coming from? I thought it was my computer. Anyway, why did that happen? I was getting such a good point here.
Talking about confession.
You don't want to have especially if you talk about a mortal sin, dragging down your conscience. You never want that, but especially during Holy Week. Remember, the graces that flow during Holy Week are the most potent, the most bountiful during the whole year. How many souls are changed because of Holy Week. How many souls really found a spiritual renewal during Holy Week? I think of one example is St. John Gilbert, who before he became the holy abbot, you know, he lived in the world and he sought to avenge his brother's death. His brother was murdered. He and his own father vowed vengeance. He hunted this man down. He actually caught him. It was on Good Friday. This man was in an alley. Then the murderer had nowhere to go. And John was just about to run his sword through this man until the murderer falls down on his feet and begs him, begs St. John for the love of Jesus crucified to spare him his life. A man who held on to hatred, to vengeance, let it go. He had a conversion. He allowed the grace of God to touch his soul. And instead of attacking the man, instead of killing him, he embraced him like he was his own brother. So you have one example. Was it the graces of Holy Week, especially Good Friday itself? You know, the salvation of mankind was secured, or I should say the redemption of mankind was secured, and the graces flowing from that would have brought about the conversion of this man. It's something that I think we should believe. We need to believe this. We need to believe that God's graces flow so abundantly during this time. And we have to make sure that, as St. Joseph of Corpatino says, make sure our face is washed so we can take full advantage, full effect of it. So don't let a sin drag you down. Don't. Yes, there's the guilt of the sin. But go to confession before Holy Week and then make the resolution of making it the best Holy Week you've had thus far. You know, how many Lents have gone by? How many Holy Weeks have gone by? And we're still where we were before. We're still at square one. And whenever we get to square two, we seem to go back. We're not making that much spiritual progress. That's usually because we're still attached to a certain vice, a certain sin. We're not able to give ourselves completely to God as we should. We want to, we desire to, but this is holding us back. Don't let it hold you back anymore.
I was just thinking how it's almost because of what all happens in Holy Week, it's almost instinctive to kind of let go of those things that might be holding you back. You almost can't help it, because if you really ponder what's happening throughout all of Holy Week, and especially when you get into the 3 days, you just can't help but kind of let go of those things. It's just, there's no room for it. If you try to even, you know, to fully immerse yourself into this, you know, all the different ceremonies, but even just taking a little bit of time and just reflect on it throughout the day, just little by little, I just don't see how there's room. And that's probably why some people come out of Holy Week feeling very, I guess, invigorated in their faith. They feel motivated, inspired,
Yeah.
I think there's just something so, so beautiful about Holy Week, and I know it can look different for other people depending on where you are, but there's so much of a treasure involved into it. So, and I think if we try throughout the whole year, reflect on certain points, which, you know, when you attend Mass, that's a good starting point. Even if you can't go there physically, but spiritually, making a spiritual communion, if you really just try to connect in those small ways, that is what's going to help you overcome the things that have been setting you back. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, we're looking at the ceremonies themselves. We've got the different ceremonies, different customs that occur during Holy Week that stand out. You don't have them at other points in the church here. You know, we have the blessing of the palms, the procession of the palms. On Holy Thursday, you have the washing of the feet. On Good Friday, you don't even have Mass. It is the commemoration of our Lord's death and where the Passion is being read. And the adoration of the Holy Cross is performed.
That's...
Holy Saturday is the zenith of Holy Week. We are consumed with all the ceremonies preparing us for recognizing Christ, our Redeemer, truly making him a part of our lives. In the Paschal I should start with the blessing of the fire, the Paschal candle, the renewal of the baptismal vows, all these things leading up to the Vigil Mass, which is of an ancient rite. It is the most unique that you would take part in. So all these things that we get to immerse ourselves in that we don't get to do throughout the year, we should take full advantage. That's why I've met people who live far away. And I say, look, if you're going to go on a vacation, you want to come to church, then do it during Holy Week. You know, why not take some time off to attend these services? I try to encourage people to do that. I know my voice just cracked there, but if you have three or four weeks of vacation time build up, can you take a week there and, use it during Holy Week? I mean, you don't need to go on 3 weeks in a family vacation somewhere. Give that little time, even if it was half the week, even if it was just Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But do what you can to make sure you attend. If you can't attend in person, you can attend online while watching the services. It's like the ones that we have in Wabaca. It really is my favorite time of the year at Holy Week. From Palm Sunday to Holy Saturday,
it's your most wonderful time of the year, Father.
It is the most wonderful time of the year. It is the holiest time of the year. And I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do. And of course, I'll talk about this more when we talk about Holy Saturday, but the chanting, the Exultet, love doing it.
And I figure we're probably going to wrap this up, but it's one of those things that maybe you just never really considered, that Holy Week is actually something to really be, for lack of a term, jazzed up for. It's like, this is, I wish something better came to my mind, but that's the sentiment I'm going for, is that it's just, this is something to...
You should be excited.
You'd be excited. It's a wonderful anticipation. And I do have other thoughts of that, but I figure they'll fit better into another episode that we have coming up specifically. But one thing I would like to know from you, Father, before we go, if you had to choose... Which of the 3 days is your favorite? Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. If you could only attend one, which obviously is not the case for you.
Holy Saturday.
But I knew it. I knew it. Tell us why later, but I just... I think for me, it's Good Friday. But see, they're all good. They're all good. And I think that's just something that I guess needs to be said, to be encouraged, that this is something that we get to be a part of, even though if you're only in the pew following along and there's just so much to be drawn from it. And
it's just like it's going, exciting. When you go to Holy Mass, the faithful are expected to take part from the pew, following along, uniting themselves with the priest, with the servers, through all the ceremonies. And it's not like not just during Mass, but for everything. Mm-hmm. And you should want to, and we spoke of the meditations, to relive mystically this time in our Lord's life, the last few days before he died on the cross. And now Holy Thursday, you know, the institution, the Most Holy Eucharist, then it, how it you've kind of become, I kind of overwhelmed with thoughts right now, because I know we're closing in on our time for today. I didn't even get to really touch upon the ceremony of Palm Sunday in so much as just the blessing of the palms, distribution. Then you have the Holy procession. Sacrifice of the Mass and the procession. How important these things are in reliving and following the footsteps of Christ as closely as we can. It's what we're doing. Like I mentioned before in the last episode, liturgical year, we are living the life of Christ. And this is the most important time to take the greatest spiritual advantage, because it's there. It's yours to grasp. It's yours to take. And immerse yourself in the beauties of Holy Week. Take the time. You know, don't wait until you arrive at church. Open your book and say, okay, where are we at? Get your book, your missal out. You know, review what happens, you know, in Holy Week. What ceremonies, what meditations the books may have for you. So you can really appreciate what is going on and take full advantage of the spiritual treasury that you get to partake of. It makes me more and more excited about delving into the other days in Holy Week of the Sacred Triduum.
Yes. That was the word I was trying to think of.
Sacred Triduum. Again, didn't really get to do what I was kind of thinking on doing for Palm Sunday, but that's okay.
We like to be natural.
Well, I want to be natural, but you still want to get certain points across. But I think the most important thing to take is having the right frame of mind to make this the best Holy Week that you've had in your entire life. And if we can accomplish that, we have accomplished much. You know, much we have promised, but greater is promised to us still. So with that, sister, we'll give that a Deo Gratias.
Deo Gratias.